But Luke chapter 15, feel very impressed to preach out of this scripture here. Very familiar scripture. Probably not tell you anything that you've not ever heard me say before out of this passage of scripture, but felt like this is where we need to be, so that's where we're going to be. Luke chapter 15, look in verse 11. And the Bible said, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, it's come time now for preaching. We certainly do need your help, need your strength, and need your direction this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd guard our mind and our thoughts, and Lord, that you'd touch and anoint us afresh today. Lord, I pray this message would go out and help the one that it needs to help. I pray that it would encourage the one that needs encouragement, but it bring conviction upon the one that needs conviction. Lord, I realize this morning I cannot make anything happen. All I can do is be obedient and that to you, and preach what you've gave us. And Lord, I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to do the work this morning. Looking for you to do something in folks' lives that they'll not only leave out of here different, but better than what they come in. If they somebody lost, save them. Lord, I pray you deal with their heart, bring them under Holy Spirit conviction, that they might get saved and know you. I pray that you'd help the one that needs it, and we'll give you the glory. Save that sinner's nearest tail for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The story here that the Lord Jesus has three main characters in it. And when I sat down to study this, I did not consider that today was Father's Day till I got in the middle of studying it. And you know, it deals with three men. It deals with the younger son, deals with the elder son, and then it deals with the father. This story is literally about the father. We see the prodigal, which means wasteful. We see the elder son who did not want to forgive his brother. But literally, this story is about the love and the compassion of the father. You ought to be glad today that if you're saved, you've got a heavenly father that has love and compassion upon his children. I'm glad that he not only has love and compassion on his children, but he has it on the whole world, amen, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to look this morning, having a thought on the younger son with this: you can always come home. You know, the old saying is, you never go home, but that ain't the truth with the Lord. I'm glad this morning that if you get away from God and you get away from home, I'm glad you can always go back home. Friend, I'm telling you, there's no place like home. There's no place to go home where somebody loves you, and where somebody will take care of you, and somebody will see and that to what you need. I'm glad this morning that the Lord loves me. And friend, I know, hey, I don't want to get away. I don't want to get away from home, but I know this. If I ever do, I know He'll let me come back home. But I'm glad today, let me say this before I preach, you don't have to get away. Amen. You do not have to get away from home. And I'm glad today you can live right and stay right with God all your life. You can serve God. But look at this younger son this morning. I want to see quickly, by the way of introduction, notice that the younger son wanted, but they both got. Notice in verse 12, the Bible said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So both them boys got what was coming to them. And so then the Bible tells us it's not too long after that. It said not many days after. I believe the younger son had already been making plans. He had already been thinking, boy, if I can get daddy to give me what I need, I can get out of here. I don't think he wanted to be at home. I don't think he wanted to be under the rules of home. I don't think he wanted to be where somebody was there to tell him what to do. He probably didn't want to work. I don't know what the deal was, but I do know this. He didn't want to be at home no more. I don't understand folk that want to get away from God. Amen. Listen this morning. Ain't God been good to you? I mean, He saved your worthless soul, snatched you out of hell, gave you a home in heaven, and then blessed you on top of it. And you men ought to look around at your family this morning and thank God for what you've got and God's done for you, and then be like this younger son and want to get away and that from home. Boy, I'm telling you, there's been times that I wanted to just lay her down and say, I'm tired. I'm tired of dealing with this mess. I'm tired of dealing with people. I'm just tired. I'm tired. But listen, He didn't call me to quit. He called me to preach. He called me to endure hard times. He called me to dig in and keep going and keep swinging. And I'm going to do by the grace of God till I leave out of here. Amen. I want you to do the same thing, but notice what he done. When he took his journey, he went into a far country, and then he done what? He wasted his substance on riotous living. That's that luxurious living. That's that indulgence living. That's he done whatever he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, and however he wanted to do it, he done it. He was having a big time and a good time. My soul, these people out here today, and by the way, I'm preaching to saved folk this morning. Amen. The world's having a time. And what they need to do is be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they'll really realize what a good time is. Amen. They'll really realize what it means to have peace and joy, because they're chasing something that they can't get a hold of. It'll always be elusive and never be able to fill their soul. But I'm telling you, you look at somebody that's saved. You ever seen somebody, say, been out of church for a while? And I mean, you look at them, and boy, you talk to them about the Lord, they're the most miserable people I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they are miserable. They won't let you know they're miserable, but boy, they're miserable. And you know what the Bible said right here? That he wasted everything that he had. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you get away from God, you're going to waste everything you had. It's all going to be wasted. It's all going to be gone. The Bible said that he spent all and it's gone. And so then the Bible said there was a famine in the land. I'm getting somewhere. Stay with me. There was a famine in the land. It took everything that he had and took more than what he could give. And then the Bible said he began to be in want. He has went from having everything that he wanted, everything that he needed, all the good times, all the happy times that money could buy. And now he's got nothing. I'm talking about somebody that gets away from God. I'm talking about somebody that's loved God and somebody that's worshiped God and served God. But for some reason, they've got away from God. Can I just tell you this morning? One of the greatest things that scares me to death is quitting. That literally scares me to death. You say, why does it scare you? Because I've watched good men and good women sell out and out to the world and just quit serving God and go on and try to chase that dream, but you'll never get there. So he joined himself to a citizen of that country. You'll have to become part of them, friend, to even get any help, because you won't come to the Lord to find the help you need. And he goes out there to feed swine, some stuff he shouldn't even been dealing with or even being around was them old hogs out there. You know, them Jews, they weren't supposed to have nothing to do with them pigs, was they? And you know, well, he wasn't eating them, preacher. He wasn't eating. Yeah, but ain't that kind of like saying, I'll make liquor, but I won't drink it? Hello? Ain't that right? I think they some that say they're Christian, they'll sell it, but they won't drink it. I think that's pretty good. You may not think so, but I think so. I know so. I know what the book says. Let's move on, or we ain't going to get out of the hole this morning, are we? Notice it said that he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He's a hauling that old slop down there to feed them hogs. And he would eat what they were eating. That's how hungry this old boy got. Imagine this fellow that goes from having everything to having nothing. And here he is willing to eat what the hogs did eat. Thank God what the Bible says in verse 17. And when he came to himself. Do you realize that when you get away from God, that the sin that you're committing, friend, just seems to blunt you from the very fact that you need to be back home? Amen. That's something else that scares me. It's almost like God turns the light out. It's almost like there's no more enlightenment. It's almost like he says, if you want to go, then go. There's the door. Don't let me stop you. And he'll let you go and do what you want to do. But there's always a payday someday. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. As a little boy, I remember the story. His daddy told me this story, and I've told y'all probably a handful of times. They were up there on their papa's farm, and there was an electric fence up there. And little boy, he's probably about seven or eight, he kept telling his daddy that he wanted to touch that electric fence. And his daddy would tell him, no, don't touch the electric fence. And he finally come down there and he told his daddy, I'm going to touch the electric fence. His daddy said, go right ahead and touch that electric. You ever touched electric fence? I've touched them on accident. I'm smart enough not to touch them on purpose. And you know what he done? He went up there and he touched that electric fence. And we all know the rest of the story. It got a hold of him. And he come back down there off the hill and he told his daddy this, I'm not going to touch that electric fence no more. I'm going to tell you, for some people, why they're hard-headed, I don't know. But you can tell them and tell them and tell them. But until they go out there and experience and see it for themselves, they won't believe. Won't believe the preacher. Won't believe mom and daddy. Won't believe the Sunday school teacher. Won't believe nothing that is told to them until they have to fall on hard times. But thank God he came to himself. And you know what he done? He began to think about home. And I'm glad this morning that you can always go back home. Amen. And if I can preach for just a minute, I want to preach on you can come home. Number one, first of all, I want you to see how he came home. He came home a failure. Boy, thank God he come home a failure. It took him becoming a failure before he had ever come home. Man, I'm telling you, he had to fail at what he was trying to do. Think about this. I'm glad the Lord accepts failures back home. I know, hey, listen, I know not all failures because of sin. I understand that, but I'm not preaching on that right now. This old boy right here, he has failed miserably in his life. I mean, his finances have failed. His money has let him down. Think about this for a minute. Don't you reckon that old boy had a big idea when he was leaving? Boy, I tell you, you get around these teenagers, and bless their heart, they think they know everything, but they don't know nothing. Say amen right there. I know, I've been around them enough, and I was one. I know all about that mess. Listen, you think you know how the world works? I can tell you right now, you don't know how the world works. I barely know how the world works. I'm almost 50 years old, and I'm just now learning some things in my life. I tell you what, Brother Jeff, what I'm learning is I don't know near as much as I thought I knew. Amen. And when you can get a hold of that, that'll help you. Amen. But this old boy, he comes back and his finances, he's coming home. In verse 14, it said, and when he had spent all, he was broke. I mean, he was broke. He started out with everything, but he was broke when he come home. Next time Brother Steve Hunter is in from Florida, and I don't think he would mind me saying this because I've heard him testify of it many times. You get him to tell you how God got him back. You know what God almost done? He'll tell you, he said, God almost took everything away from me. He'll tell you, I got saved. I believe it was in 1978. He got saved in 1978. But it was in 2008 that God got his attention. Now let him tell you that story sometimes. But God almost took everything away from him that he had. He said, all I was concerned about was that money. You remember what Naomi said when she came back to Bethlehem, Judah, in Ruth chapter 1? You remember what she said? She said, I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home, again empty. I'm going to tell you, you get away from God. Listen to me, church. And man, it scares me to death. You say, do you serve God because you're scared? I serve God because I love Him and He loves me. But I am scared of leaving. I'm scared to death. And I hope that remains with me till the day I draw my last breath, Mitchell Gannon. I hope it remains with me. I want to be scared of leaving. I don't want to ever think that I could walk out and say I'm done with it all and then go live a good life. Man, that scares me to death. But here he is. His finances had failed him. Thank God for that. His friends had failed him. The Bible said in verse 14 he was in want, but in verse 16 it said, and no man gave unto him. Ain't nobody going to help him. You know what's going to get some people's attention? When people quit helping them. When people quit helping them. Well, when mom and daddy's buying their groceries, I know when there's grandbabies involved, that's a whole mess in itself. I understand. Oh, you ain't going to let them go hungry. I understand that. I get that. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to let them fall on their face sometimes. I know that sounds hard. I know that sounds harsh, but we're talking about getting them right with God. We're talking about getting them to the place where they're going to fail. We're talking about where they'll fail and they'll look up and they'll see the shape that they're in.
Amen.
Old daddy, he never chased him down. Those who are your friends because of what you got and what you ain't, because of what you got and what you're doing, those are not your friends. I had a lady tell me one time she had control of her brother's money, and she said he was constantly coming up the driveway getting the money, and it was just a mess. And I mean, he had friends as long as he had money. Can I tell you all this morning, find you all some friends that love God. And whether you've got money or whether you're in want or whether you've got plenty or whether you're doing horrible, they're your friends. I thought about what Paul said in Romans 16. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Paul said, they put their life on the line for me in Christ. He said, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. He said, man, I've had some friends in Aquila and Priscilla. They've been there through the thick and the thin. He talks about on this for us in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said, for he ought to refresh me and was not ashamed of my chain. Listen, I'm talking about that friend that Naomi found in Ruth, that she was going to go back with her no matter what. Some of our plans do fail us. And I'm going to be honest with you, church, as a saved person, sometimes we do make our own plans and we have our own situation in front of us. But sometimes our future fails us. It's always coming home with finances failed, with friends failed, with his future. Don't you imagine that when he left home, he had a big idea of how everything was going to go? Don't you imagine that he looked out there and he said, man, if I could go this and I could do that and I could make this happen, boy, we'll have a good time and a big time and everything will go just like I think it's going to go. But in verses 15 and 16, he went and joins himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him. Do you think he saw that as his future? When he left home, do you think that he said, hey, when I get out there, this thing's going to fall flat, and I'm going to end up down in the hog pen, busted and broke with nothing and no friends, nasty and dirty, that's where I'm headed. Do you think he said that? Well, of course he didn't say that. All he could see is what he had in front of him. And so he comes home. He comes home a failure. I'm so glad that the Lord lets us come home a failure. I think about Naomi when she come back home. Do you think that Elimelech and Naomi, when they left Bethlehem, Judah, and went down there to sojourn, do you think they thought things was going to turn out the way they turned out? Do you think that when they left Bethlehem, Judah, that Naomi and Elimelech said to each other, that he said, hey, when I get down here in the Moab, I'm probably going to die down here, and them boys are going to die down here, and you're going to be left with two daughter-in-laws, and it's going to be hard. I mean, do you think they thought that? Well, of course they didn't think that. But here comes Naomi. Where'd she come to? Back home. She got to come back home. Come home a failure. Number two, come home with frustration. You know what that word frustration means? It literally means defeated or disappointed or useless or unprofitable or brought to nothing. Society had let him down. Nobody had helped him. He's down in the hog pen with them pigs and them swine. And they couldn't help him. And then no doubt he's frustrated with himself. You ever got angry with yourself and said, how'd I get here? How'd I get into this mess right here? And I mean, here he is, this young man, and he's left home and he's lost everything. And listen, I get frustrated with me just in my daily life sometimes. We've raised generations that are frustrated with our government. They're frustrated with everything and everybody else, and they won't do nothing to help themselves. It's not the government's responsibility to take care of you. It's your responsibility to take care of you. The government's responsibility is to make sure that we have liberty and that we have freedom. That's why we maintain an army and a navy, is so that they can protect our freedom. That's their responsibility. You said, preacher, is it really that simple? It's really that simple. But he was frustrated. And here he comes home. Now, imagine as he's coming home. When he came to himself and he's seen the situation that he was in, he begins to, not only does he come to himself, and thank God that he'll turn the light back on somewhere along the way. And I mean, he had, with lack of better words, he lost his mind. I mean, the Bible said when he came to himself, that tells me that he wasn't himself. that sin had drug him so low that there was no light turned on in him, if you can understand that. Probably, I don't know what people talked to him about. I don't know if anybody tried to get him right. I don't know if anybody tried to send him back home. I don't know if anybody even said anything about home. But here he is down in the hog pen. And God turns the light on. You know what our prayer ought to be for a lot of people? Is that God turns the light on. Amen. We've seen that in Sunday school this morning. Talked about that thief on the cross. God had to turn the light on that old boy. I mean, he had to turn the light on one day for him to see Jesus Christ at Calvary. That other one was over there railing on him, and he says, hey, listen, we do deserve what we're getting, but he don't. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. God turned the light on. You know, there was a day or a night, if you're saved, when God turned the light on. He turned the light on. You can't get lost again. I understand that. But if you want to go out and you want to dwell in darkness, God will let you. You won't be unsaved, but you'll be in darkness. You'll be stumbling around in the dark out there. Hun, I mean, here you are, and God trying to turn the light on, and you ain't wanting to see it, and you ain't wanting to. You ever been around somebody that for whatever reason they've got wrong with God, and boy, they don't want to get right? You ever been around them people? They'll make every justification. They'll make every excuse. They'll make every reason why they're right and you're wrong. That they're right and God's wrong. They're right and the church is wrong. They'll make every excuse for that. But this old boy gave up on all that. And when he came to himself, he had to come to himself by himself. Down there with the swine. Daddy couldn't help him. Daddy wasn't down there. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Boy, how good they got it at home. How good they got it at home. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back home. And he says, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell him that I've sinned against heaven, that I've sinned against him. I'm no more worthy to be called his son. And just make me one of his hired servants. Boy, you're talking about a fella that went from living on high to living in humility. I mean, now he's went from high to humble. And all he wants to do is go home and have enough bread and that to eat. That money didn't make no never mind no more. Number three, he come home failure. He come home frustrated, but notice this here, number three, he's coming home to the Father. Verse 20 said, he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I'm going to tell you, he come home, first of all, to a father that was looking for him. I believe old dad was looking. Why? Because he was yet a great way off. Didn't say he was just a way off. He was a great way off. I believe old dad would look out. Every now and again, when he was out there at home, maybe when he stepped out on the porch, maybe when he come out and he looked down that road that same son left off of, and he would look in that evening sun, and he would look down that old dirty road, and no doubt every afternoon he looked down through there, and that boy hadn't come home. But he's looking. He's longing for that boy to come home. He wants him home. He wants him home. You know, but old dad wouldn't twist his arm. Old dad wouldn't make him come home, but he'd let him live hard. I have no doubt old dad probably knew what he had got into. You know something, his parents, you know the road that all that mess leads down. Why? You've lived long enough. Experience in itself teaches you some things, let alone knowing what your Bible says, let alone seeing it. Sometimes you have experienced it and know what I'm talking about. But here he is. I believe old dad, he's looking, and he sees that son coming. And he said, that's him. I don't know if he hollered at mama or not. I don't know what's going on, but he said, that's him. And he takes off. And my soul, the Bible said that he done what? When he saw him. Yes. What? And his father saw him and had compassion. Now he done that before he ran. He had compassion first. He said, boy, that's my boy. He said, that's my son. He said, he's coming home. He's coming home. I believe old dad got excited. And he made a choice. He made a choice right there on the spot. He couldn't let him come home and turn him away. He didn't let him get home. He ran out there and met him. Boy, he had compassion. He said, you know what compassion is? That's putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. And what would you like somebody else to do if you were in their shoes? That's compassion. Old dad looked at him coming and he saw him broke. He saw him busted. He saw him just destitute. He saw him for everything. He saw him for failure. He saw him frustrated. And he said, I can help that old boy. He said, I can let him come back home. He said, I can take care of him. Boy, I can make him just like he was. He ran out there, and my soul, look what happened. He ran. He ran. He didn't walk. He ran. He ran to meet him in the situation that he was. Old dad really probably didn't know exactly what had happened, but no doubt he knew a little bit. And he fell on his neck and kissed him. I believe he's on the ground wallowing in the dirt, if you want to know the truth. I do. I believe that old boy was already on his knees by the time dad got there. I believe he seen him coming. Boy, thank God when you see him coming. Whew. Mercy, seen him coming. This is my most favorite part of the scripture. Boy, because old dad let him come and get right. He didn't tell him, you sorry bum. He didn't tell him, you're worthless. He didn't tell him, you wasted all my money. He didn't say none of that stuff. He just ran and fell on him and kissed him.
Yes.
Here they are. What happens? And the son said to the father, I've sinned against heaven. And in thy sight, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Now look what dad done. But, that's a conjunction. He stops him before he can say any more. Dad had heard all he needed to hear. And he didn't need to hear nothing else. And he wasn't concerned about making him a servant. You understand that, don't you? Old dad wasn't concerned about that boy being a servant. He was concerned about him being a son.
Yes,
amen. Notice what he done. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. He got to come home to the father. And here this old boy is. And you know what the father done? He sees he's repented. He and dad sees what's happened. Why? He ain't got on no robe. He ain't got on no shoes. And he ain't got on no ring. He's lost it all. And old dad's standing here looking at him. But the father said, bring hither. Bring forth. The best robe. Huh? Covers up what he lost. Put the ring of sonship back on his finger. Right? Who he belonged to. You know, I'm determined they some saved folk out there. They so nasty with the world. They look lost. They look. You may not think so, but I think there's probably some saved folk out there that's probably lost. There's probably some saved folk sitting in church that's probably lost, if you'll know truth. But there's some saved folk out there. They just so engrossed with the world. But you don't know what God's doing to them. You don't know how God's going to get their attention. He's going to get them. He'll either get their attention or he'll get them. I know what the book says. Listen. In Hebrews chapter 12, he said he rebukes and chastens those that he loves. Revelation chapter 2, he rebukes and chastens those that he loves. If you are without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. If you can go out and you can live in that world and God not bother you, you're not part of His.
Amen.
There's a Holy Spirit resides inside of me that bothers me about some things. So here he is. He gets to come home. You know he's a son forever. He's a son forever. I'm Tommy and June Latham's boy forever. Bethany Stokes over here is Jeff and Beverly's daughter forever. Isaiah back there is Gabe and Kayla's son forever. You can't change it. You can't undo it. When I got birthed into the family of God, hey, listen, that thing cannot change.
Amen.
I'm his forever. So here he is. He comes home. And the father, he puts a ring on him, puts a robe on him, puts shoes on his feet. And he says, we're going to eat and we're going to be merry for my son's come back home. You know what? They begin to be merry. And they're having a time. They're having a time. And you know what happens? I didn't read this. I'm just going to be real quick because I know what time it is. That elder son got so angry, the Bible said, he wouldn't even come in. He wouldn't even come in. And you know what? You know what'll happen sometimes when folk get right with God? We still want to remind them of what they've done. We don't want them to get right with God. We don't want to help them. We don't want to make them part of the church. Well, preacher, don't you know? Yeah, I know what they've done. But so does God. He said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let him come back home. He is forever a son. And forever, I'm going to tell you, when you get around the Lord, he'll satisfy that soul. The Bible said this, I'm going to close, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I don't know where you are with the Lord. I assume everybody's saved. And everybody serving the Lord, I don't know. But if you need to come, I want you to come. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house.